Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Did you bring wine?
I got the glasses.
You guys, I made a quiz.
No, I didn't bring anything, but I'm here to have fun.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broadwasted podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and the vampires named Bernadette were born in Puerto Rico on those satin summer nights. But can I forgive him on a Sunday afternoon? Time is an ocean on the trailway bus, but Virgil was just shoplifting clothes. You know, a killer wants to go to college, too. Joining us today are the usual adios hermanos, including Kevin wants to go to college one, Jager.
Oh, one, yeah, of course.
Woo! Kimberly, our quality game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour. And with us today is somebody you've seen surely on Broadway in Will Rogers' Follies, How to Succeed in Business, Chicago, Jekyll and Hyde, or, as you heard earlier in this podcast, The Cakeman. Or a million other things across the country and on television. She's currently starring in The Girl from the North Country on Broadway. Let's give a big Broadway-sed welcome to friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Luba Mason.
Oh, my God.
Y'all ready for this?
Welcome.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, you guys got this down. You guys.
We are smooth criminals.
I don't know who to look at, who to listen to, or...
You can follow her on social media at Luba Mason. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, pleasure. Real pleasure.
Absolutely. So, funny story. When I was in school, the first thing a lot of my classmates and I did for theater, we went to the library, and I'm sure you guys did it too, and we found every CD of every album that we could, and we burned them so we would have... you know, our hard drive filled with albums.
Oh, yeah.
And they're all alphabetical. And so Cape Man came up very early in like my like research of all that. So I've listened to it many, many times.
It's a beautiful
score. It's a gorgeous score.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So when we found out that we were having you on the show, yeah. I could not wait for the opportunity to do a Cape Man intro. That was very exciting for me.
Did you see the show?
I did not see the show.
Okay.
But I've only listened to the album.
Okay.
But that was very exciting for me.
Yeah, we've done several productions of that over the years. We did one at the Delacorte. Mm-hmm. We did one at BAM. And I'm just kind of hoping somebody wakes up and just brings this musical back.
I would love to see it.
It's beautiful. I think it was just a bit ahead of its time, really, when it was presented. And it had some problems, but nothing that couldn't have been fixed.
What doesn't?
Yeah, right? Yeah. Sure. Nothing that couldn't be fixed.
The imperfect stuff is the best stuff.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
And the score, Paul Simon.
That's why we love Kevin.
Thanks, guys.
So I don't know.
You said it was Paul Simon?
Paul Simon. You can't go wrong. I mean, it's just really beautiful. And I met my current husband in the show.
So that worked out well for you.
It worked very well. It's a showman's that lasted.
Showman's
well.
To romance. Like,
there
I feel like it could be a Hallmark movie about your experience.
Yeah.
The show is over.
The Cape Man.
Exactly. The Cape Man.
Why do you say that?
I think it's funny. There was a sketch on SNL where Horatio Sanz was playing Elton John, and he was running a Wolfman musical, and he would always say, "I'm running a musical about the Wolfman," and I just think it's the funniest thing. So that's why I do that. Like Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
I just think the emphasis on the wrong place is a very funny thing.
Yeah. That is very much like your sense of humor.
It's
in
very
a
Brian humor. Yes.
It's like, just say something a little wrong.
Let's start with, what are you drinking?
What are you drinking?
What are we drinking?
What are you guys drinking?
We got some new Hudson Maple Cask Rye.
Because it's our fave and we're obsessed.
Yeah. I wasn't going to drink today because I have been forgetting to eat lunch. I did eat lunch today, but still just like, I have been bad at that. And so I'm drinking a lot of water next to a very small whiskey.
Awesome. I am not drinking the water. I just went straight for the maple cask rye because it is my favorite. It really is so good.
And I'm drinking the Tanteo with jalapeno.
Ooh,
so nice.
Spicy.
It's red.
It's a raspberry iced tea.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a combo.
Yeah, it's
good. I didn't know you could do that.
Sure.
You can do whatever you want.
I mean, you really can.
Yeah, yeah.
You proved that with the...
Dr. Pepper?
The olive juice.
Oh, the olive juice and lime. Yeah, that was a terrible mistake.
Yeah, Brian made a drink with vodka, olive juice, and lime juice.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Lime, was like, lemon lime seltzer.
Yeah, he was like, let's try it. It was a lime seltzer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was all wrong.
No, that was wrong.
So it was disgusting.
We have the Hudson and the Tanteo. And so you tomorrow you're going into the theater for The Girl from the North Country.
The Belasco, our first day in.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, it really is. It really, and it's a beautiful
it's
theater.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah,
theater.
It's really nice.
What excites you? What's exciting about that day? We talk a lot about just like previews and rehearsing, but in terms of like the first time in that space, you've done it a couple of times. What do you take from that day?
I think it's just the first time you step on the stage and you see the audience. It's just the reality that you're on Broadway or back on Broadway.
Sure.
And that's very thrilling.
Is it the same thrill every time? Because I know you've done it quite a few times in your career.
No, it's not the same every time. But it's been 15 years since I've been on Broadway. So
really?
Yeah, oh. I know. I just like remember that a couple of weeks ago.
Oh wow!
I was like, wow, it's been a long time. So it's I'm very excited to be back on Broadway.
That's sure.
Awesome.
Also, what's really kind of exciting is to see where your dressing room is.
How many flights of stairs?
And how big or small it is.
Yeah.
And on what floor?
Yeah.
How many steps you got? How many stairs?
How big is the window?
If there is a window.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Oh, that's so good.
Can you wave through it?
Do the lights work?
So you were in it off Broadway at the Public.
Yes. Yeah.
And now you're obviously, as we talked about, going into it on Broadway. I guess you've been in rehearsal for a couple weeks now.
About almost 4 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's been the transition of the piece that you had frozen off Broadway and kind of rethinking it, maybe reworking some things for Broadway? What has been that transition, major changes, or kind of just like reforming it for a different space?
Both. What's different is we've got 3 new cast members.
Okay.
So it brings in a whole different dynamic.
Sure.
And different energy to feed off of. So I think it was also the director's... his duty to now get these new actors to fit in with who he already had and to kind of fill in the gaps.
Sure.
And so there's been a lot of tweaking. There's been some script changes because when we were also fortunate. We have the director who also wrote the piece. So we have, carte blanche
in the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if there's a line that doesn't work for somebody, he goes, okay, let's change it, and he'll just throw
that's
out.
That's amazing to have that
creativity
in the room with everybody.
It's huge. Yeah. Or if something's not working, he changes it.
Yeah.
So there have been those kinds of changes in the script. I mean, nothing major plot-wise or anything, but just the fact that there's new people and that brings in, differences.
Yeah.
And I think he just kind of, as a whole, really wanted to, wants to bring the piece to a different level, a higher level to make it better, which he has. The piece takes place in the Depression in 1934, so...
It's a rowdy piece.
Oh. Well, that's exactly what Connor McPherson, wonderful, wonderful writer and director. I think he also wanted to he wanted to elevate the piece so it wasn't too depressing. It wasn't so, because it is a very, you're looking at 13 principal characters on stage who are going through some serious troubles during the Depression. So
it was a great Depression, though.
But I'm
bummed.
So he was trying to keep the mood as uplifting as possible.
So it's somber and not depressing.
Yeah, or just injecting enough humor in the piece so you're not just sitting there crying your eyes out the whole 2 hours.
In terms of space. What have you done?
It's different too.
What have you done, or the cast members, or have you been directed to kind of fill that space, whether it be physically, emotionally? What are some of those tweaks that you've had to kind of adapt to?
Well, first of all, the stage is a little bit smaller than what we had down at the Public.
I was going to ask, because the Belasco's not huge.
It's not. We're short about 8 feet in depth, and about 4 feet.
On either end, or one, just one?
Less wide in the proscenium. So everything is a little bit more squished together. So there's that.
What an interesting
challenge.
Thing, because you usually think it's going to go the other way when you go to Broadway.
Right. But I guess the house is bigger, but the stage is smaller.
Yes.
Yeah. And we're also we're also going to have a raked stage, which is terrific
like
for the audience.
Yeah.
But it wreaks havoc on your spine.
Oh yeah.
Especially in heels.
So now get to the theater and see where's physical therapy.
And that's all in place, and they're
of course.
Workshops on that and all of that.
Oh, good.
So yeah, space wise, I mean,
because we all watched that documentary about the Celine Dion concert that had a rake stage.
No, I did not see that.
Yeah, so like
Kevin speaking for himself.
But we all watched that. I mean, I watched it, and it's the extras on the DVD of her concert in Vegas, and it's all about these dancers.
You assume we've all seen that.
Yes, we've all seen the extras on that.
You know, the dancers talk about how like they're doing all these crazy leaps,
and
all this like ridiculous dancing on a stage that is like heavily raked, and so they talk about like how they go through physical therapy then like injuries can be like really intense if you're not careful with that.
Talk to anyone who's been in Cats.
Yeah,
Wicked.
Oh wow.
Wicked is raked.
Wicked is a rake. The Gershwin has a rake stage. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, this is not severely raked.
Yeah. No.
It's enough.
But it's enough.
Yeah.
And it's really to the enhancement of the play
for
really,
sure,
and the audience for the audience.
So using Bob Dylan songs. So for those of you who don't know, Girl from the North Country is using Bob Dylan songs.
Correct.
But in very different arrangements.
Yes. The arrangements are stunning, actually, by Simon Hale.
With him being such a... with him being such a storyteller in his music, through his lyrics, how has that been a different experience? Or maybe it relates to Kateman, where, you know, telling the story, those songs are kind of written from a different perspective, not necessarily from a, quote, musical theater perspective. How has that been?
Well, first of all, our show is not a jukebox musical.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that the music is furthering the plot of the play or the story. So the way the music has been dropped into place throughout the show is primarily to comment on a mood that happened in the scene before it or after it.
Okay.
Or, you know, I guess just comment even on, like, the scene or anything like that.
Is it very, like, Spring Awakening kind of?
I don't know.
Like, isn't that what Spring Awakening kind of does?
Kind of, that the lyrics were a little more poetry.
It does. Yes. Like, it's more commentary than it is, like, diegetic music.
Yeah, it's more like...
But it's not like you see
setting
the,
a tone.
One of the lead characters, you know, she's pregnant and all of a sudden she breaks into a song about pregnancy or something.
Right.
You know, it's not like that.
Yeah.
The mood is... The music is creating a mood, or it's commenting on something that happened or will happen.
That's exciting. I'm looking forward
to
that.
Yeah, so it's done in a very...
Can't wait.
You know, the show is more of a play with music.
Sure.
Yeah, that's really what it is. It's really different. Really different.
So let's flash back for a moment.
Uh-oh.
Do you remember...
How far back? Yeah.
Do you remember your first experience seeing a show and being like, oh, I want to do that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, I the first two shows I saw, one was the Magic Show.
Oh.
Cool.
You know, like my godmother took me to see it, and, and I didn't even, it was my first Broadway show. I didn't know what to expect.
Magic Show? How fun.
That's
it was just,
awesome.
It was awesome. And I was just mesmerized.
Yeah.
And then the second show I saw was Dancing.
Seriously?
So you saw Stephen Schwartz.
Well, this was a few years later I saw.
And then fought, like, this, what, amazing.
Yeah, and I remember seeing Anne Rankin in Fosse. I just remember her body, her long body and those long legs and that long hair just slithering around this pole down to the floor of the stage and just took my breath away.
Sure.
And I went, oh my God, that that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
I mean,
the pole thing.
and I'm a pole dancer now.
Exactly.
No, I think it was just the fact that it took my breath away, whatever she did up there. Yeah. I mean, she sang, she danced, took my breath away. It was just kind of captivating an audience like that. And the magic show, just the singing and something live that was just...
Would you say it was a magical experience?
you know what? I don't even remember.
Good answer.
I really don't.
Good answer.
I know
Shut him down.
The magic show anymore. That the only song I remember is The Lion Tamer that like everyone sings in college.
Right, yeah.
Yeah,
but other than that, like, I think that's I don't
the
only
song. It was like
show
an hour and a half. It's like a really short show, apparently.
Yeah,
I was looking it up.
Doug Henning,
I
remember, was the lead.
Oh,
I mean, it was a vehicle for him to do his magic, you know.
And you are
there was magic to do.
You're
wrong show. Wrong Stephen Schwartz show.
And you are just as well known for your incredible voice as like just a singer and a soloist as you are as like an actress. So were you singing first and then discovered that you wanted to do theater, or
I was dancing for? I mean, I was a classical pianist for 13 years.
Oh, wow.
And in high school, I did the musicals. Yeah, I want to be a musical theater. I want to be on Broadway. And so I...
Stop doing an impression of me.
Oh, you're doing an impression of me. No, but by the time I went to college, I had so much musical background. I knew I needed... work in the acting. So I was an acting major at NYU. It was in the drama department. But my last year in college at NYU, I had like 8 credits to kill, and there was a new program with the American Dance Machine that was affiliated.
Yeah,
did you
They're
really?
Awesome.
Yeah, and so I took like 8 credits with Lee Theodore, who was alive at the time.
That's brilliant.
And I just took like, you know, 7 hours of dancing a day, you know, which I'd never done before because now I had the acting training at NYU.
Sure.
I had the musical training from years, and now I knew I needed some dance training. And Lee just really took me under her wing.
Yeah.
Once I started taking her classes, and she, the day after I graduated, she hired me to be in her company. Not that I was such a fabulous, you know, ballet trained dancer, which
sure.
I wasn't.
Right.
But I was very coordinated. I picked up very quickly, and she needed strong singers in her company.
Oh, you were that triple threat.
Yeah. So those of you who are not familiar with American Dance Machine, they recreated the original choreography of past Broadway shows.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a living archive.
Mm-hmm.
Like we
exactly.
redid the original Agnes DeMille choreography from Oklahoma,
cool.
Ron Field's original choreography from Cabaret.
This is amazing.
You know, the Aggie dance from Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. I mean, these are just a few examples.
Yes.
How much of that do you remember still in your body?
Some of it I still remember because Lee Theodore, who was the director and founder, she was the original Anybody's in West Side Story.
Sure.
So
that I thought I knew.
Excuse me?
That I don't think I knew.
Yeah. So we did a lot of the West Side Story vocabulary in class.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah.
And that's
like basically getting it like almost firsthand because you're getting it from somebody in the original company.
Yeah.
So.
Which was the point of the American Dance Machine, having heard of them, is that they were trying to preserve the choreography the best
Absolutely.
Way from body to body.
Yeah.
And you, because
that's
can't
so
be written
cool.
down.
Would you say from anybody?
From anybody.
I am Brian Boo.
To other body.
And every day of the week in dance class, like Mondays was the 1920s dance steps.
Oh, that's so
Tuesdays
cool.
Tuesdays was the 30s, which is all the Latin stuff, the mambo, the merengue, blah, blah, blah. 40s, you know, all of the bebop, the whatchamacallit, the 40s
jitterbug
dance,
and
jitterbug, and all of that stuff. 50s, we did the whole West Side Story vocabulary.
Sure.
And and Fridays was the 60s, you know, kind of hair stuff and on. That was when, you know, when I was in the company. you know, Michael Jackson was really big, so we were doing all of that breakdancing stuff.
Yeah.
And
oh,
the Thriller,
cool.
We were recreating the Thriller choreography. It was really wild, you know. It was fun.
That's a really interesting week
so,
to start.
So I started as a dancer.
Yeah,
so then when I finished with the company, and I started auditioning for Broadway shows, I was always hired, at first, you know, I was in the chorus, and I was hired as a dancer who sang really well.
And this was Will Rogers Follies.
That was late night comic, which
they do
which
in
lasted
Dance
like
Machine now.
Days. You know, and then it came back to haunt me in Chicago. When I did Chicago, you know, I was like, okay, pull out those dancing shoes.
Get the leotard back on.
Oh, my God.
Before we talk a little bit more, let's play a game.
Yeah, let's do it.
We should talk during the game, though.
Okay.
It's okay. It's a silent game. You know, podcasting.
Yeah, podcasting. Silent games.
I figured we'd just play a quick round of heads up.
Great.
Is I love that, that fun?
Yeah.
I've pulled some Lights of Broadway show cards. These happen to all be shows. No actors in this pile.
Okay.
I think we'll know most of them.
Great.
You can always pass. How you play the game is you would put the card on your head. We all try and get each other to guess what it is.
Oh, my gosh.
You picked a very hard one to start with.
A through what? A through...
Zorba?
Zorba.
There you go.
Zed.
Just be silly. And we are all playing together as a team, not
to
against anyone.
To see how many
anyone,
we can get.
To see how many we can get in 2 minutes.
Great.
If we have fun, we can do a second round.
Cool.
Great.
If we don't have fun, we can leave.
We'll move on.
Yeah, we'll just move on.
Will Rogers Follies move on?
Oh, God.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I don't know why I said thank you for that. All right, are you starting, Kimberly?
Yes.
All right. Let's do this.
Okay, we can do this. I feel.
I needed a sip. Okay.
So wait a minute. We're doing the clues so you guess it.
Correct.
And then I'll. Oh, sorry.
All right.
And then she'll pass
I will
the next
pass
person.
It around.
All right.
And we'll
it's
keep
a
going
hot
as fast as we can.
Ready.
Let's
we can
do this.
Okay.
Okay.
Was that the Long Acre?
Adam Kaplan took over for it.
Charles Palminteri.
Yes. Yes.
Oh yeah.
I can't see it. You're covering.
Bonjour.
Oh, no.
I closed very quickly.
Amelie.
Yes.
Bonjour. Oh, Catherine Zeta-Jones did it.
Yes.
A little
and
90s.
Then,
yes.
Oh my gosh. I don't know.
I believe in you. This has a really long title.
it was
Josh
in a tent,
Groban,
and then it was
recently.
On Broadway.
War and Peace.
Oh. Oh,
it's two people's names and then
like
something
Boris
in the sky.
And,
oh,
yeah, from
and
Bowie
Karloff.
So from Rocky and Bowie, Boris and
the woman who was with him.
Oh my God!
A very French male name for Peter.
Pierre.
Yes.
Pierre and the comet.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, Natasha Pierre and the, oh yeah.
Oh, this we love the show. Dory Priest.
We all went to it
oh, the
when
prom.
We were 18.
Yes. Yes. Catherine Zeta-Jones. We just did.
Oh, Little Lady Sing.
Yes. Oh no, we did.
We just did that one too.
Yeah. Kristen Chenoweth did it with Peter Gallagher.
Not this time
on a
period,
train.
But the previous time
on the 20th
period.
Century.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, no, I'm nervous.
It happens over and over and over
Andy
and over
Carl
again.
Andy Carl was in it. It was a movie that Bill
it's
Murray
did.
It's
when a rodent sees its shadow, and it might be
it's the first. It's the first day in February.
Oh. Oh. Is that what
I
it
said
is?
The word?
Yes.
I'm going to cheat.
Okay.
Can I cheat?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I knew that. Great, let me do one more.
Okay.
Yeah.
This was Patti LuPone
and
Christine
Ebersole
were playing
about
like makeup people.
Oh, yeah, and I saw it.
Yeah, not love, but
hate.
In love, in love and
love and
all's fair in love and
blank.
All's fair in love.
World blank two.
That's it. War paint.
War paint.
I'm so bad.
It's okay. We're gonna do another round.
We'll do another round.
No.
I think we got 8 or 9.
We got 8.
We got 8? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go.
We can beat
Let's
it.
Do
we
it.
Can do this.
9/11
Canada?
Musical.
Newfoundland?
Yes.
Oh, jeez. You guys are good.
I wanna be.
The Producers.
Yes.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I dropped the
oh
cards
God.
In Brian's
oh
lap.
God. Oh, we were just talking about the makeup.
War paint.
Yes.
Okay. Be careful.
Oh, Lord. Lord, goodness gracious.
This
the
is a, two gay men who have a son who's marrying a girl.
It's
the
birdcage.
Movie is The Birdcage.
Oh!
So French for The Birdcage.
The Cage of Birds?
The Birdcage. Oh, La Cage aux Folles.
Yes!
Oh, jeez, you guys.
John Andrews and King Richard Burton.
Yes.
Tuesdays in the Corner with Kevin.
Bernadette Peters.
This is Ben Platt, what a Tony.
Fell out of a tree.
Yes. Okay. Sad fell out of a tree. Or did he?
Oh, it's not a show. It's a thing you put on the stage at the end of the night and you turn it on.
A lamp.
Yeah, but kind of. Like, ooh.
Ooh.
What do people call it? What makes that noise?
Ooh. What haunts the theater?
Yes. And then.
Ghost light.
Yes.
Got in there.
Yeah, that should not be in that pile.
I've never heard of that musical.
It's not exactly, right?
Glenn Close. With one
Sunset
look.
Boulevard.
Yes.
You can sing for clues?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course you can.
Come to the Cabaret.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, Agnes DeMille choreography.
Oklahoma.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where the wind comes up. If I were a rich man.
Fiddler on the Roof.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, no, I'm getting
so we just have to sing at her.
Sliding Doors, but not.
If then. That's the end.
You guys are really good.
I think we know each other too well.
I think we beat it. I got three.
I got three.
I got four.
You got three.
Oh, we definitely beat it.
Yeah.
3, 3, 3, and 9 plus 4 is 13.
We got 13. We did. We killed it.
We killed it.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Wow.
We
Cheers.
Did it.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSMusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Cheers.
All right. So let's...
I have to ask a question now. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So we're moving into new questions. So I love Jekyll and Hyde.
Wow.
Like, like a lot.
Okay.
And
you're one of those.
So I want to ask you a question about it.
Yeah.
Because it is a show that you took over in a role that was written specifically for one person's voice.
David Hasselhoff?
Yes. But not even just for her voice, it was written by her husband.
Correct.
Wait, really?
Yes. Frank Wildhorn and Lynn Edder were still together when Jekyll and Hyde happened.
Oh, yeah.
Because he found her on Star Search because she won for like 23 weeks in a row. I'm from Jacksonville, Florida, and Linda Edder came to perform at the Jacksonville Pops, and I saw her and it like changed my world. And then I saw her when I was older, and it was even better because she was performing based on her album, and all these people kept shouting after every song for her to sing from Jekyll and Hyde. And she grabbed the microphone, and she was like, I just have to say that I only did one Broadway show, and people keep asking me to sing Broadway songs. I will sing what I want to sing. And then she continued, and it was incredible.
Good for her.
She sassed the entire audience, and I loved it. So, my question for you, what was that like, taking on a role that was like, very specifically form-fitted for one specific performer?
Well, vocally, I grew up singing very similar. I mean, a lot of people said that she sounded like a lot like a Barbra Streisand.
Yes.
And Barbra Streisand was one of my, favorite idols growing up. And so I kind of grew up with a very similar style of singing that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, as far as like the singing style and all of that, that was easy for me to kind of slip into.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the other thing is, what was important for me when I took over the role is I really wanted to make it my own.
Yeah.
I saw Linda do it. She was terrific. but I really wanted to put my own stamp on it.
Sure. And a supporting role that has like 18 songs.
Just about. And so there were definitely things that I wanted to change in the script or just, you know, actions or choreography or something. And so I figured that out and I spoke with the director. I had a meeting with him beforehand just to make sure that these were my ideas. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to go in just mimicking Linda.
Right.
You know, I thought it was important for me to go in there being me, yet honoring the style and everything that was written the way it was.
Were you the first replacement?
I was her first replacement. Wow. Mm-hmm. And it was really important, I think, for the producers and for Frank and everyone that I didn't lose, you know, the essence of what they created for this role. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to keep the essence of that but still make it my own. And I believe I accomplished that because the producers were very pleased.
Yeah.
And when she left, there were, you know, her fans were out in the street. They had to close the street down because there were so many people. And so there was a lot of pressure on me to, like, is she going to keep this show open or not?
Yeah.
You know, kind of a thing. And so it was kind of like a fine line to walk on, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. But it was exciting. And it was really my first singing role on Broadway because people really didn't know that I sang at that point.
What a cool way to show them, especially.
Absolutely.
With a role with like 11, you have like 11, 11 o'clock numbers.
Oh, like, yeah. you don't think I can sing?
No, and I have a story because when I heard that she was leaving the show, I felt that I was perfect for this role because we were also two very tall women. We were both physically kind of the same.
She doesn't match the mold of what you usually see, especially that time.
And so physically, we were a lot the same. Age-wise, we were very much in the same category. I knew I could sing the material. And the people who were casting it at the time, when my agent pitched me, they said, Luba Mason, no, we're looking for real singers for this show. And they wouldn't even give me an audition. Mm-hmm. But I knew the musical director of the show,
did.
Jason Howlin. Yeah. Yeah. I wrote a note, send it backstage, because I had done like a workshop for Jason like a couple years before. Uh-huh. He wrote me back immediately, called my agents, and what do you know, the next morning I had an audition.
Wow.
So anyway, I learned like two of the songs, but it was... it was just really thrilling. That role just represented
that
so many things
so
for me.
Lovely. And
it's beautiful. Now, it's just beautiful.
I made the joke that she has like 11 o'clock numbers, but she really does.
Yeah,
like every song she sings is like a huge show-stopping number, either emotionally or vocally.
That, and you hold that note for like 21 bars at the end.
Did you have a favorite one of those songs that you got to perform?
gosh, you know... I love the duet that I did with the
Dangerous Game.
No. It was
the girl
in
duet
his eyes.
In His Eyes. Yeah,
In His Eyes was really beautiful. Yeah. I also loved Someone Like You. I mean, that ended Act
Such
One.
A good song.
And then A New Life ended Act.
A New Life is ridiculous.
Spoiler alert.
A New Life A New Life is one of those songs that just like it's not going to modulate again. Oh, it is.
And you're singing it on a bed, you know.
Yeah.
And this tight corset, and your boobs are like hanging out, and you're just like, it's just one of those, A New Life, and then, you know.
Yeah, she did that when I saw her at the Jacksonville Pops.
Oh, cool.
She sang A New Life.
She's like, this is the one theater song I'll do.
But that was like the one she did, and it brought the house down because everyone is just like, how do you keep, like that song is like a marathon.
It is.
Like vocally a marathon. It's like some songs like The Ladies Who Lunch are marathons because there's so many lyrics.
Right.
A New Life has like a good amount of lyrics, but it's really just the vocal stamina.
Oh, it's the vocal stamina.
And it's like after... three other huge focus stamina songs.
And she's the supporting actress in the show. Yeah. Was Robert Cuccioli still in it with you?
Yes. I got to do it with him for about 3 months. 3 or 4
were
months.
Were you the first replacement of the principal cast?
I was.
So Christine...
Christiane
Knoll was still there.
I still did it with her and with Robert Cuccioli. Mm. And then once their year contract was up, that's when
they
brought in Rob Evan and I forgot who else. Anastasia Barzi, I think.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
I know you did it there, but did you also do it
Tuesdays in the corner with Kevin?
It's Kevin's Corner.
Welcome to Kevin's Corner, where I have three highly researched questions for you.
Ruh-roh.
Starting on your Wikipedia page. And then going down a Wikipedia rabbit hole.
Okay.
So we'll see how this goes. They're really smart, so we'll see how this happens.
I did not write my Wikipedia.
Somebody did. Okay, so Luba, question one. According to your Wikipedia page, as a singer, you have performed in international jazz and music festivals, as well as major jazz and music clubs around the country, where you've trademarked your own musical format called mixtura, a blend of different musical currents.
Yes.
A current mirror, on the other hand, is a circuit designed to copy a current throughout one active device by controlling the current in another active device of a circuit, keeping the outer output current consistent regardless of loading. The current being copied can be, and sometimes is, a varying signal current. Conceptually, an ideal current mirror simply an ideal inverting current amplifier that reverses the current direction as well. Well, Just You Wait, on the other hand, is a Soviet, later Russian, animated series that follows the comical adventures of a mischievous yet artistic wolf trying to catch and presumably eat a hare. The show won a 2014 All-Russian poll for favorite cartoon animated series of all time. So my question is, who is your favorite cartoon character of all time?
Oh, Popeye.
Yeah. Really? Why?
I don't know why.
It
was the first thing that came to me because I just couldn't have enough of them when I was a kid growing up. I just loved
watching. Big fan of spinach.
I hated spinach, but I don't know what it was about Popeye.
He was just funny.
I just adored him.
Sure.
That's good. I like that. That's a good answer. Question two. They get harder.
Longer.
According to your Wikipedia page, your 15-plus year Broadway career began with Tommy Toon's Tony Award-winning Will Rogers Follies, where you first appeared as the second Ziegfeld Follies girl from the left, later taking over for the sassy starring role of Ziegfeld's favorite. Favorite Story, on the other hand, is an American old-time radio dramatic anthology advertised as a show that stands a head and shoulders above the finest programs on the air, where each episode featured an adaptation of a story selected by a celebrity, purportedly their favorite, such as Alice in Wonderland, Frankenstein, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and Oliver Twist. Twist and Pulse, on the other hand, made up of Ashley Glazebrook and Glenn Murphy, are an English street dance duo based in London. They were runners-up of the fourth series of Britain's Got Talent in 2010, and later won the spin-off show Britain's Got Talent The Champions in 2019, becoming Champion of Champions.
They were runners-up but still got to be champions?
Because, like, the top three got to move in. So my question is, what Broadway performers would you name the champions in the following categories? A, champion scene partner, who's been, like, one of the best people to do a show with.
Jerry Mitchell.
Really?
He was my dance partner in Will Rogers Follies.
Yes!
I was going to say fun. No! Cool.
You can totally say that.
He was fun.
That's amazing. Champion musical duet partner.
Musical duet partner. Zowie.
And we know you loved everyone you've performed with. This is just like somebody who pops into your mind as somebody who...
I think just right off the bat was... I guess I could say Robert Cuccioli.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know,
you love those music, and he's fantastic.
He was terrific. Yeah. Because, I mean, he was kind of like he was my first leading man, really, in my first leading role.
Yes.
And it was, he was terrific.
Oh, I love that. Champion positive attitude. Somebody who you've worked with who's just like a ray of sunshine.
Thank you so much.
Well, right now I'm working with Mayor Winningham.
Yeah,
North Country. And she is just the nicest, cheeriest,
And if you can be that way in a show about the Depression, like, you're winning.
She's just a very positive person and always has the right thing to say and just has your back. And
that's
just
wonderful.
Really a lovely, lovely, lovely human being.
Solid. Champion wit.
Wit. Oh, boy. Well, I a person that I'd work with, which was just hilarious, was Michael Friedman.
He was
a composer.
Absolutely.
For Pretty Filthy, a show that I had done downtown.
Yeah.
And Michael, he reminded me of that character in Seinfeld. The guy with the hair who runs...
Kramer?
He reminded me of Kramer. I mean, whenever he had, like, a new song to play for us for the show, I mean, he was
Hey,
just
Luma!
Like, yeah, he just like, I'm in the door, and he came in, and he's like, I got a new plug, and he just gets sit down. And, he was really funny without knowing he was funny.
Oh, that's
wonderful. He just had a great energy about
him.
And we adored him.
Yeah.
Just adored him.
And then last one is Champion Heart.
Oh, Heart. Wow.
So when you put these together, do they make champion Captain Planet?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
Absolutely. Captain Planet Hollywood.
I guess somebody who came to mind when I did How to Succeed, Jonathan Freeman.
Oh, yeah.
Who was in the show. He and I became really great friends. And he's currently playing...
Jafar
in Aladdin.
Yeah.
He's been there for years.
He's been doing it for years.
Also, I mean,
the voice of Jafar. He is Jafar.
He is Jafar. You're right. He did the very
I love that the champion
Aladdin.
Heart is Jafar.
But he's such a dear,
oh, yeah.
Dear man.
I love that.
Dear man.
Okay, you have one more question. You think you can handle it?
I think I can.
All right. According to your Wikipedia page, you studied classical piano for 12 years, starting at the age of 5, trained classically in voice with teachers from the Juilliard School and Manhattan School of Music, and studied dance with Lee Theodore of the American Dance Machine, which we've already proven. So Kevin's corner is 100% correct.
Always.
Machine translation, however, sometimes referred to by the abbreviation MT, is a subfield of computational linguistics that investigates the use of software to translate text or speech from one language to another. On a basic level, MT performs simple substitution of words in one language for words in another, but that alone usually cannot produce a good translation of a text because recognition of whole phrases and their closest counterparts in the target language is needed. Solving this problem with corpus statistical and neural techniques is a rapidly growing field that is leading to better translations, handling differences in linguistic typology, translation of idioms, and the isolation of anomalies. Anomaly Wars on Earth is a real-time strategy tower defense video game set in the near future where sections of an alien spacecraft have crash-landed on several major cities, and the player assumes the role of the commander of an armor battalion sent to investigate anomalies that have occurred in the vicinity of a wreckage and neutralize any threats that may exist within the anomaly's field of influence. So my question is...
I don't know what it is.
What is your favorite non-musical sound?
Oh, good question.
Huh. Children laughing.
Oh, that's a good
young
one.
Children laughing.
Wait, Kevin,
I
what's
think it's
yours?
Just beautiful.
My favorite non-musical sound.
Yeah, this is a good question.
Oh, that is a good question. I'm glad I wrote
have a
it.
Second one.
What's your second one?
Rain. Just rain.
Yeah. My answer would be water. Like the waves crashing or like
I was
rain.
That was going to be my one was the beach because I grew up near the beach. Walking near the beach always calms me. So like hearing it coming in and out is always a
laughter's a good one though. Well, now I'm rethinking mine. Yeah.
Popcorn popping is
the
clear
winner. Oh,
that's
a good one. Whoa.
That's the best, your best smell or best.
Yeah, totally. The let's go.
Just experience that starts with sound.
And that has been Kevin's Corner.
Yay. Before we play our second game.
Yes.
What's your favorite musical?
Oh my goodness. Wow.
We bring out the hard-hitting questions toward the end.
What's my favorite musical? I think cabaret is pretty great.
I'm on the same page with you.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's so rare to have such a great book for a musical.
Yeah.
And plus the music, mm-hmm. you know, because usually the book is what's usually lacking in musicals. And that, I thought, was just a brilliant book. It was menacing. It was sad. It was cheerful. It was God, it was very dark. Yeah. It was just a lot of...
It's also a show that you could... Depending on what actress you plug in, an actor for that matter, mm-hmm. it could be a drastically different show.
Oh, yeah. As we've seen over the years. Yeah,
I feel like a lot of shows, regardless of who you plug in, you're going to get the same basic themes and whatnot, but like depending on how old Sally Bowles is and Cliff is and
absolutely.
And, like, I love when I read
completely
like,
different dynamic.
When you read like the reviews or like the stories that were written about like when Susan Egan did it. And people were so used to seeing a Sally that people had cast who was a little bit older, who maybe didn't have the like the vocal gumption that like, which is why
Liza
Sally,
did or
right. things like that. So it was like having seen when Susan Egan did it, she played it as this like young, super talented, but because of her circumstances, trapped in this like small club.
Oh wow, I didn't see her. Yeah.
And it like either. So many people wrote about how incredible that was and like revelatory of her performance because it was a new Sally.
Sure.
Yeah, because Sally is so often portrayed as, like, not that talented.
Right, like, she's, like, alluring and amazing, and, like, you can't stop watching her, but, like, she's not really talented.
And, like, well, and that's what Natasha Richardson had brought to the role.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
With Alan Cumming, you know, I mean, she was, like, not the most biggest voice or anything, but she was...
Yeah.
But you couldn't stop watching her, yeah.
And certain productions can be done, since all the music is diegetic, it can be done as, is this actually... how good they are, or is this just like how good they think they are?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It depends on how you play it.
Yeah.
I would agree with you.
Yeah. Like if it's like also partly a fantasy.
Yeah, for sure.
Number.
So you have, so obviously everyone should go see Girl in the North Country because Girl from the North Country because it's amazing.
But yeah, she's from it.
I'm sorry.
So, and I play the drums in the show.
Oh. Is this your first time playing an instrument in a show?
No. Oh. Well, it's the first time I've ever played the drums.
Cool.
I had to learn how to play the drums for the show.
Her body is an instrument, Kevin.
So
that dancing.
Everyone should see Girl from the North Country. Obviously, that's going to be a big hit when it opens on Broadway. But you also have something else coming up this year that's exciting.
Yes, I have a release. My fourth solo CD is coming out in September.
So what's it called? Do you know yet?
Yes, I do. It's called Triangle. And it's a
I wrote in my questions for you triangle, and I couldn't remember what that meant.
literally, before you got here, we were going over the questions, and he was like, I wrote down triangles. I don't know if that was for something else, or I just wrote this down.
I was like, did you play the triangle in Girl from the North Country?
No, there's no triangle in the group.
So what does that title mean to you?
I know I did my research.
I'm so proud of you.
It's called Triangle because the lineup is very different. Because
square is boring.
Because the lineup is voice, vibraphone, and bass.
Cool.
That's it?
That's it. Cool. So it's just these three instruments, so to speak. It's never been done before in the jazz world. It's never been recorded. It's a jazz pop album. And with this lineup, I really wanted to challenge the lineup. So the songs that I do, they're all covers.
Of pop songs?
Some are jazz. Pop songs. Some are jazz songs. I threw in Khaled's Song About Love from... The Band's Visit.
Oh.
I always throw in a song from a theater piece.
Yeah, yeah.
Always in my albums.
Because this
it's kind
so
of like
cool.
a nod to
like an homage to it. Yeah,
yes. Of course.
I have a Spanish bolero on there. I have a heavy metal. I have a heavy metal tune on there.
Oh, cool.
From System of a Down.
What?
Toxicity.
You cover System of a Down.
Toxicity with vibraphone, bass, and voice.
What?
It's really cool. It's a very cool album.
Wow.
It's very intimate, obviously.
Yeah.
It's very exposed for all of us. It was an experiment to see if it could be done and if it worked, and I think it does.
Cool. That's in September of this year.
September, and I've got two of the top musicians on vibes and bass. I've got Joe Locke on vibraphone. He's like one of the top vibraphonists in the country. Mm-hmm. And James Genus, who plays a lot with Herbie Hancock. He's the bassist on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, he's
just,
cool.
He's really... just terrific.
That's and who amazing. Are like your like because you do like jazz music and are very well known for it. Who are like your jazz influences or like the people that you look at and are?
You know what? I didn't grow up with jazz. I am not a jazz singer, but I have performed with a lot of jazz artists.
Yeah,
I've done a video and recorded Moondance with Al Jarreau and
cool.
And several other.
You just have such a smooth voice that it lends itself to jazz.
I did a Brazilian jazz album, which I wrote the music for. And
was that with your husband?
I did a duet with him.
Yes.
But that's it.
Okay.
And that was enough.
No, I knew he was involved somehow.
Yes, and he's done a couple of duets with me on several of the albums. Also, a wonderful jazz flutist, Hubert Laws, was on that Brazilian jazz album. So
when people are like jazz, but like... a classical instrument, it's always so incredibly fascinating. Like, jazz piano is some of the hardest things I've literally ever
jazz
heard
piano,
play.
You said.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Jazz piano, like, jazz flute, like, things like that. Like, they're doing things with the instrument that, like, people who train all their life as classical musicians
improv.
Don't understand how to do. Like, it's...
it's improv.
Yeah, it's just...
and that's
it's
what
so,
jazz is, like, just, the freedom.
It's like, that's like when the instrument really is just an extension of your arm. Like, mm-hmm. it's...
yeah.
So
yeah.
fascinating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I love a lot of jazz artists, but, you know, it's...
but Barbara has a little bit of, like, a jazz tinge to, like, some of the stuff
really.
That she does. Some of it.
She's pure pop.
Yeah.
She's...
which, and beautiful, you know?
Yeah.
Let's play a game.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Sure. Now I have actors in my Lights of Broadway pile.
Oh, no.
Okay.
You can pick ones that you know. I'm not picky about you picking these blind.
Excellent.
But this game is just called Will It Succeed?
Okay.
Instead of How to Succeed.
Okay.
Great.
So pick an actor and then cast them in a project that will have to be a success.
Okay.
Like,
doesn't
pick
have to
them.
Be new. It could be...
it could be a revival of something. It
okay.
could be something new, but something that would... like, be a hit.
We cast them in something?
Yeah.
Yes.
Just a dream. Oh, yeah?
Well,
did
she's
you pick
already
someone
been
good?
Cast. And this one has already been cast.
Okay, I'll go first.
Please.
I got Carrie Butler, the incredibly talented lady who is also part of the Broadway Podcast Network.
Yes, she is. She's also an Ithaca alumni.
Yes. So what I would do is I would take Carrie Butler and cast her opposite... this is going to be good.
Yes?
Who's... I can't remember his name. Sorry, Whiskey.
Or thank Moulin you, Rouge. Whiskey. Aaron Tveit.
Nope.
Danny Burstein?
Yes. So I would have Carrie Butler and Danny Burstein do When Harry Met Sally, the musical.
Oh, I love that.
And I feel like that would be a huge hit because people love that movie.
Cool.
And I would hire Aarons and Flaherty to write it.
Okay.
So it would have that kind of like throwback Ooh. Musical feel, but like with contemporary edge.
I love that.
And I feel like Carrie would be an incredible Sally.
Yes.
Cool. And
she could
I would
play
be
from
so. Can you imagine the like end of act one number when she does like the fake orgasm for like the I'll Have What He's Having? It's a whole song. Like, I would be so into that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a dance number.
Yeah.
I like that.
So that's what I would cast Carrie Butler in When Harry Met Sally in the musical.
Okay.
This is tough, kids.
I know. Me too.
This is very tough.
I have Sarah Bareilles.
I'm obsessed with Sarah Bareilles.
And I want her to write a new musical.
Yep.
And as what I would actually like her to do is to write an original musical that is not based on something.
Yes.
But for the game.
Yes.
I'd like her
to
write
it to be a marketable hit.
Yes. Exactly. This is Will It Succeed? I want to... I was going to choose Will Swenson because Will It Succeed? But
then that was where you ended.
No, but Sarah Bareilles I chose because I wanted to write an adaptation of the movie Short Term 12.
What is that?
Short Term 12 is a movie. It was one of Brie Larson's first movies.
Okay.
With John Gallagher Jr. was in it.
Ooh.
There's some really
great... I like this like caliber of people.
I think Leah Stanfield, who was in Get Out, was
yeah,
in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Knives Out as well. It's a...
Knives Out was so good.
It's a spectacular film about basically this like halfway house for young people. And Brie Larson is one of the like, quote, counselors at that place. And she tries to help all those kids. And I just think that...
I love a good adaptation of a movie that a lot of people don't necessarily know.
Yeah, I think that would be excellent. So, and one female lead, she writes that obviously very well. We need to see more of that on Broadway in general. And I just think that's a small, little-known movie that is one of my favorites. I own it. It's spectacular. And I would really like to see that.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Kimberly?
This is too hard.
I cheated and I picked two.
Okay.
And I don't know why this popped into my head, but it did.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex Brightman and Aaron Tveit will be in The Social Network, the musical.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out how Aaron Tveit could play both Winklevoss twins.
I mean, he could be the Napster guy.
And Justin Timberlake. And the roommate. Like, maybe it's a two-man show, and Aaron Tveit is everyone, and Alex Brightman is...
That's so good.
I'm at a loss, you guys. I am at a loss.
Well, who'd you pick?
Well, I love... I picked Madeline Kahn. I picked Celia Keenan-Bolger.
Oh, my God. What if they did a musical of Night Mother?
Whoa.
That's really dark.
But that would be incredible with the two of them.
It would, actually.
Yeah. How is that the first thing that came to your mind?
I just thought, I was thinking mother-daughter show.
Mother-daughter, but the thing is, they're both these, well, Celia, I met her in person, and she's like this cheery, happy, you know, mm-hmm. and Madeline, we all know her.
Oh, wait, do you have a better idea?
Not a better idea, but what was that movie? Heartbreakers?
With Ashley Judd and Natalie Portman?
No, that's a different one.
No, that's Where the Heart Is.
Yes.
Okay.
Heartbreakers is like the one where they...
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Yes. And like, I think it's Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah. Oh, and they're con women.
And they're teaching them how to con
it's
men.
It's what's his name from
Everybody... Oh, that would be great.
Yeah.
That would be a great
movie. Madeline Kahn's comedy would be so good
or,
in that.
Or,
I think Celia would
does
be
like
great
the
too.
Don't Kiss
Oh, yeah.
Celia
would be great.
Or, hear me out. You flip Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
For two females.
Madeline Kahn as the Lithgow part.
That would be so good.
Oh, man. I just got goosebumps.
You did
that's
good.
That's a good
You picked a couple.
I love both of them.
Those are three great ideas.
And you initially picked Katrina Lang, who already is about to be in a big hit.
I was just picturing Night Mother, but like written by like Lucy Simon, like from Secret Garden.
Oh, wow.
So like that kind of like... dark, kind of like gothic sound. That would be so good.
That's awesome.
Let's make all of this happen.
I love it.
Oh, God. I've seen scenes from Night Mother in college, and I'm like, this is above me. Like,
yeah, I remember when I was reading Night Mother when I was in high school, and my mom was like, what are you reading? Because my mom's a librarian, so she's just excited when I'm reading anything. And I was like, oh, this play called Night Mother. And she's like, that sounds cool. What is it? And I told her what it was about, and she was like, that sounds awfully depressing.
I think you need to say great depressing.
Yeah, she was like, let me give you an adventure novel after this. Like, balance my weird artist kid out.
So, one last question before we go.
Okay.
What have you seen as one of the biggest change from when you were in Will Rogers to now in Girl from the North Country?
What do you mean? What
like
change?
In the industry?
Change in the industry? Like, they're
different
myself.
Shows. You can choose however you want to answer this.
Interpret
that.
How you want.
Completely open-ended.
What have I seen the biggest change from Will Rogers? Well...
yeah, it could be industry. It could be yourself. It could be audience member. It's totally up to you.
Well, ticket prices for one.
I'll drink to that.
Yeah.
We're seeing a show in a good seat for under $50.
What came to my mind? From like Will Rogers to Girl from the North Country. Well, the industry's changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Broadway has changed. It's I have to say, for younger people trying to get into Broadway these days, it's a lot lot harder. It's a lot harder to get in because it's definitely name driven. There's a lot of times you need the stars. You know, producers are looking for the names to sell the shows. It's harder to break in, and there's so much competition, so much now.
And you're just to clarify, you're talking about like actually performing in those shows.
Yeah, yeah. And auditioning for them. You know, it's just whenever a new show comes around, it's like, oh, I'd be perfect for that. And then it's like, oh, they bring in a star or somebody who's got 10 Tonys or something. You know, it's like, for younger people, I think it's a lot harder. And the competition, I think with all of these shows now on television, you know, American Idol and The Voice and all of that. Yeah. I mean, and the internet. The internet has changed everything because in my day, you know, you really didn't know what you were up against, what your competition was up against, you know, now you see everybody, what they're singing, how they're singing. There's so much access and information on the internet that I never had. So you kind of walked in blindly into auditions and, you know, you didn't necessarily have a lot of the backstory of the project or who was creating it, et cetera. So now, I mean, even when I get auditions now, it's like I just plug in, you know, the TV show or the musical or the director or somebody, and I get all the information that I need before I even walk into that room.
Sure.
So the internet has really changed things a lot.
Well, that brings us to the end of our episode.
It does.
As Kevin had mentioned, check out your album in September.
Yes, it's called Triangle.
Yeah, but now, I know, I wrote it down. of course, go see Girl from the North Country. That's going to be at the Belasco on Broadway.
Yes, we check it out. Previews February 7th.
Amazing.
So it's really soon.
Yeah,
soon.
Right around the corner.
Wow.
You can follow her again at Luba Mason on social media. One thing I'll mention is if you can find the Capeman album, definitely give that a listen. It's really great, and it's definitely ahead of its time. It definitely feels like a musical that would have come out 2 years ago as opposed to when it did.
It's beautiful music.
And we end every episode with a quote.
We do?
If you're traveling in a North Country fair where the winds hit heavy on the borderline, remember me to one who lives there. She once was a true love of mine.
Scarlett, is that Scarborough Fair?
No, Bob Dylan.
It's Girl from the North Country. Okay. So go see Girl from the North Country. go see that. Thank you so much for joining us.
Whiskey.
Thank you so much.
You can find us at Broadwasted.
Hey, that's us.
On all social media. You can join our Facebook group for some theater nerdy stuff.
Yeah, we have super fun stuff and post a lot of stuff because I love responding and seeing all the cool things you guys say about everything you see, everything you're doing. So definitely keep us informed.
Yeah. You can join our Patreon. We have two tiers. The first one is Shot, where you get an extra episode and some fun stuff. And then we also have the second tier, where you get two episodes and we do show and tell for the second episode.
Yeah, join us with some fun stuff.
Yeah. Check us out there. You can find us on the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey, that's us.
You can also find us on things
like bpn.fm/broadwasted.
That's us. And then, of course, you can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, and iTunes. Rate and review us there.
Five stars, please.
And thank you.
Luba, thank you so much for joining us.
You guys have been really great.
You've been great.
Thank you.
We know you're super busy. We're really excited to see Girl from the North Country.
We really are. We can't wait.
You definitely got us more excited to see it.
I can't now, especially now that I know you're drumming. I'm even more excited.
No, what I learned is she's playing the triangle.
I will let you know the night I'm there, so if you decide to sing A New Life, you can. If you just want to squeeze it in there.
Okay. But we raise our glasses. Thank you so much for joining us.
Zoot-doo-wop-bop.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you
very much. Thank you.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.